Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Odell Beckham Jr. He needed redemption. He got it. Dropped some passes in the Super Bowl with the the only playoff game with the Giants. He didn't drop it in the Super Bowl. He caught the first touchdown. But he was injured in that game and now looks like he could be facing his second ACL recovery in less than 2 years. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Tannenbaum's now with us. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good, man. How you been?
Doing good, MT.
Hey, Mike, do you think that given their situation with no draft picks until the year 3000, given their cap issues, now Odell is a free agent and the ACL, the whole thing, can this team go back-to-back possibly?
Absolutely, and here's how they do it. They have to take a page from Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. It starts with Matt Stafford. If he takes a little bit less, starts at the top, then if some of those stars just leave a little money on the table, then they could try to figure out a way to keep the Von Millers and the OBJs. Because I agree, to me, OBJ, as much as they have other firepower, most notably with Cooper Kupp, they're a different offense. I mean, certainly statistically that was bore out, but when you watch the game, they are much harder to defend with OBJ, and I think having him and Von Miller back is hugely consequential for them to repeat.
Yeah, Key, I mean, with Odell, they had two number ones on the field, really, and that's even without Robert Woods, who's a do-everything football player playing the position. Very different with Odell.
Yeah, and Mike, the thing is, they certainly can run it back. It may not be, look. This group got a three-year window, right? Right now, the clock on a three-year window. They won, so they got another 3 years to kind of mix and match and put pieces together. OBJ, whatever the injury is, he's coming back off of. We don't know where he'll be. Robert Woods coming back off an injury. We don't know where he'll be. But I think they still got enough. Von Miller likes playing in L.A. He's not chasing money, okay? He's chasing more rings is all he wants to do. And so when you look at that, they get Higbee back. They shore up that left side of the line, try to figure out what to do with Whitworth, get some more help in the secondary. I think that'll be a plus for them outside of Jalen Ramsey. And they'll be in the mix along with about five other good teams in the AFC and the NFC to make a strong push to get back to the Super Bowl.
Jay, you want to hear what Sean McVay, he happens to be the Rams head coach in case you haven't heard about him,
never heard of
had
him.
To say at the Monday press conference on Odell's injury?
Yes.
Let's hear it. Here it is, Sean McVay, Rams head coach.
It was heartbreaking to see that because how much that, just to be able to get to that moment, and he had really made an impact with those two catches that were huge plays. I think he was in line to have a big game, but it did change some things, because then they could really hone in on Cooper a lot more. Guys inevitably stepped up, as did Cooper and Matthew when we had to have it the most, but it made it a little bit more difficult. My heart goes out to him, but love Odell, really grateful for all the many contributions he made. We wouldn't be champs without him.
Mike, with that being said on OBJ from Sean McVay, from a guy who's had experience in negotiating contracts, like what would be the best advice that you would have for OBJ in this type of situation, considering second ACL tear in the last 2 years?
Come back to us, invest in a year, let's get you healthy. Let's put you on the biggest stage in the world. Let's go back to back. And then in 2023, you could crush it as the number one receiver. He's still young enough where he could have enough meaningful years. So we have great doctors. We got great rehab. We got a great system. You really gel well with this group of guys, and we could highlight you. And I agree with what Sean said, which is they probably don't win a championship without him. I mean, we could talk about Jalen Ramsey and Matt Stafford. Those are meaningful pieces, but give the Rams credit. They kept going. They added Von Miller. And again, with Robert Woods being hurt, Higbee being out, once OBJ got hurt, that was a pedestrian offense. And credit Kupp and Stafford for making plays on that last drive. But as much as OBJ needs the Rams, when you watch them, the Rams need OBJ as well.
Okay, if that's from the team side, what would your advice be to OBJ, like from his perspective, if you were his player agent?
Yeah, I would just say, hey, the race is long. A long, great future not only on the field but off the field. And, LA is an incredible platform and community. And there's a lot of things you could do on the field and off.
Sorry, Mike, you were breaking up a little bit. Could you repeat that?
Yeah, no, I was just saying, like, not only on the field, there's so many things, but off the field, you know, there's incredible platform and community out there. And to me, you can really set yourself up for success post-playing, being in L.A. So I think this is a real win-win, guys.
Mm. Key, you know, Mike, one thing I noticed about Odell, you can see someone, look, these guys get to the league, they're still basically kids, 20, 21, 22 years old, right? Odell, to me, matured through the years. Always a like a guy his teammates liked, wore his heart on his sleeve, but he matured through the years. And in one way that I saw that show up on the field, like Tyler Boyd picked the Super Bowl to drop his first pass, right? Because typical reason, his eyes are turning upfield before he secures the ball, right? He's not looking it in. When I saw Odell in the Super Bowl, guys, because he dropped a couple passes in the Giants playoff game, one thing I noticed was he wasn't going to drop the ball. He was going to, like, forget about the yak. He was going to make that completion first. To me, it looked like, in that respect, a more mature player who was ready for the moment. It's a shame that it had to end that way in the Super Bowl, in that game. But as you said, Mike, maybe they never even get there, let alone even win the game, given his contributions early in that game.
Well, I would say...
I don't think there's any question about it.
We're on a slight delay with Mike. Go ahead, Mike, and then Key is going to follow you.
Yeah, no, I was just agreeing with you guys, which is there's no question about it. They're much more difficult to defend without OBJ because Kupp's going to get all the coverage. So to me, he's a real force multiplier, not only what he does, but the opportunities he creates for others.
Yeah, I look at OBJ's tenure with the Giants and his playoffs. He's a young player, dropped some balls, first playoff game. But I wouldn't expect a guy who is now in his seventh, eighth year in the National Football League to duplicate what he did in his third, fourth year mm-hmm. in the National Football League. It just comes with enough games and enough experience to be able to do those sort of things. I think, you know, for whatever reason, individuals wanted to tell the narrative and the story about OBJ, and that story was not even the one that we saw in the Super Bowl or in the playoff run that he had with the Rams. It was something totally different to make him an outcast, to make him look something different than what he truly is as a player. Even in Cleveland, it was almost like they wanted to follow that New York narrative to Cleveland and couldn't get rid of it. But once he got to L.A., everything changed because of the organization and the head coach and the quarterback and the teammates around him.
Mike, as we talk about trying to complete and retool this Rams team to bring people back so they can run it back, I'm curious what your thoughts on how you would handle the Aaron Donald situation. Talks kind of looming before the game that he was thinking about retirement. You know, and whenever I hear retirement, I'm like, oh, this is a guy, is he getting his value? And when you see T.J. Watt sign that extension for $28 million a year, and you recognize that Aaron Donald is the fifth highest defensive player paid-wise in the NFL, considering I thought he should have been the MVP of the Super Bowl, how do you handle that situation?
Jay, well, that one's easy, my friend. Whatever you want, we'll take SoFi off the stand. We'll call it Aaron Donald in. We will name bridges, tunnels, whatever it takes. It's freaking Aaron Donald. This one's easy, guys. Now, you know, Key's talking about getting a left tackle like it's going up and down the aisles with Trader Joe's. Like, those things are hard to find, but we could find them. Aaron Donald, are you kidding me? Whatever it takes. He's the most valuable guy after Stan Kroenke. So you get the keys to the franchise, and you just tell us how much it is.
Yeah, no, it's not. Look, Aaron Donald's just being Aaron Donald. He's just talking. It's not about a contract situation with him. And I know we want to go dive into that. Dan Graziano kind of mentioned it earlier. Jay mentioned it now. When you hear something about a retirement, it feels as though it's about the contract. Much like you just said, Mike, that's not a hard deal. This is not his second contract where they took a minute to get it done because they had to figure it out, even though they were going to get it done and make him the highest pay. This is an easy deal. I really think he just wants to take some time off because he's certainly not going to go into the season as a fifth highest paid defensive player in the National Football League. By the time the season starts, he will be by far the highest paid dude in the history of the National Football League on the defensive side of the ball, as well as from a cash financial situation, saying Kroenke got more money than God. So he can write the check at any moment from a guaranteed upfront signing bonus money. You know that, Mike. He can give him, you know, he can manipulate the guaranteed money anytime he wants to.
So, meantime, there is another situation in the NFC, at least for the moment. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. So we'll go from one future Hall of Famer to another.
They're willing, ready, and able to do whatever it takes to further entice Aaron Rodgers to remain in Green Bay.
Well, and I think it's too little too late. The facts are Aaron has never been better professional. Like, he looks the part. I mean, he just won his fourth MVP.
What does it feel like to commit to a season if that's what I want to do? And the good thing is I still feel like my body, you know, is in a good place.
So, Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, Mike Tannenbaum with us. Packers are willing to go all in for Aaron Rodgers, according to Adam Schefter. That's a page out of the Mike Tannenbaum playbook. You just heard it with Aaron Donald. We'll change the name of the stadium. Mike T did this with Brett Favre. Like, when it comes to a difference maker player, usually at the quarterback position, unless it's someone like Aaron Donald, you do whatever it takes. The rules are not the same for everyone. So they want to go all in to keep Rodgers, obviously. And look, they drafted Jordan Love, it seems to me, because first year in a new system, Rodgers didn't quite look the same. He was 37 years old. It was unclear. Wait, is this still Aaron Rodgers? Is he adjusting to it? We don't know. And besides, the calendar is what it is. He's 37. Oh, we see a guy we like in the draft. Let's move up and grab him for the future, right? But what does it say about Jordan Love that they are this attached to Rodgers? We know it says that Rodgers is playing at an extraordinarily high level. We get that. But what does it say about Jordan Love? Mike, what I asked earlier in the show, I'm not saying he's a bust. He hasn't really played yet. But because of the effect it had on Aaron Rodgers' relationship with the team, because it does seem to me they don't love Jordan Love if they even like him, is he the worst draft pick ever?
Mike, the way he frames the question, I get so angry as a former player.
Not a bust. This is not at Jordan Love. I'm saying, given the dynamics of Rodgers and the team, is it the worst draft pick ever?
Yeah. Look, I can't say that, but here's what I can say, because ironically, I was the one dealing with the Packers when we traded for Favre, which is this. They knew they were sitting on greatness with Aaron Rodgers, and they were done with Favre at that time. He was pissed at them. They were pissed at him, and it was just heading for a divorce. And they were like, hey, we're good. We got this guy, Aaron Rodgers. Clearly, that's not the case here, but let's be fair to Jordan Love here. Like, he's been on campus for about 10 minutes. We've been through a pandemic. We know that the quarterback position takes a minute. So I'm sure they have real concerns about Jordan Love. But to say that he's the biggest bust of all time, I think that's a bit much sitting here knowing that he really hasn't played yet.
Thank you, Mike. And when we had this conversation yesterday, I felt the same way as you. And I echo your sentiments. It's, you know, sometimes when organizations miscalculate, that puts so much pressure on a player, especially when you're following up Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you're talking about a guy, how many times he's won MVP, the level that he's playing at this year in the midst of all the chaos, it just feels like there's really not an opportunity for Jordan Love. I'm not saying that Jordan Love, you know, isn't the answer or that he is the answer. All I'm saying is you don't get a chance to really ease into a situation when there's pressure like that on Aaron Rodgers. And I kind of feel like they got the selection right. Sometimes organizations, you know, is they don't always bat, you know, they don't always shoot 100% from the field.
Yeah, you think about the situation, and you alluded to it, Mike, that Brett Favre was tinkering in and out of the lineup. He was playing games with them. Oh, I want to get one. I'm in Mississippi. I'm going to go hunting. I don't know. One day. And, oh, it was just, I'm going to do a Wrangler commercial. I don't want to play. I want to play. And to the point where the late Ted Thompson, at the time the general manager of the team, was like, the train is moving on. Had he said, I'm all in, I'm playing, Aaron Rodgers would have still been waiting. Jordan Love have not had the opportunity to give them anything to look at. He doesn't take regular snaps in practice because you got the number one guy. The one time he played against the Kansas City Chiefs, he was mixed reviews. He was okay. He wasn't great. He wasn't good. He wasn't bad. He just was a guy with a jersey on. I think the best thing for them to do and for Aaron Rodgers to do is give him what he wants, beg him to come back, and go try to win a championship. And when Jordan Love's time is there, he'll be ready to go.
Key, I would just add one thing to what you just said. I would beg Aaron Rodgers, cajole, probably some other verbs, you know, overpay, whatever it would take. But the other thing I would do is I would try to develop Jordan Love. And here's the other thing, guys. I draft another one. And when you look around the league and what happened last year with all the injuries to so many different quarterbacks, the difference may be who has the most depth. And to me, bring Jordan Love back, keep developing him, but go draft another guy. You know, maybe it's Malik Willis if he falls, you know, into the 20s in the draft. Like, draft the quarterback with the highest upside. And that's why you have Matt LaFleur. You have Matt LaFleur, who's a great offensive coach, who's developed quarterbacks. And I keep adding to that sort of depth. And that's what the Packers did for decades, by the way. You know, they had Hasselbeck and Aaron. And look, that's the mindset they used to draft Aaron Rodgers. Mark Brunell was another guy that came through there. So to me, if I'm the Packers, I am scouring for Aaron Rodgers' replacement, because if they're fortunate enough, guys, to get him back for this year, they are truly in a year-to-year situation with him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be too rough on Jordan Love. It is, I'll just say it. It is obvious to me they don't think a lot of him. If they thought a lot of Jordan Love, if they thought that Jordan Love was the Aaron Rodgers to Aaron Rodgers' Brett Favre, they wouldn't be offering, and they thought they'd get four firsts for Aaron Rodgers, why wouldn't you build around the young kid, right? So, like, look, that is what it is. But let's say they want to go and bring someone in for depth. They could draft someone. Or, Mike T, there's Mitch Trubisky maybe floating around out there, who's looking pretty good now that you look in retrospect at what he was dealing with in Chicago when he went to the playoffs twice. There's Carson Wentz, who's soon to be cut, it looks like. Could they go that route?
I would go younger, because I'm going to spend every dollar I can on keeping Davante Adams, making sure that offensive line is as good as possible. So I'm filling needs with my cap dollars, and I'm drafting for the future. So, you know, there's no way he's coming back without Davante Adams. So we got to get that deal done, not on a franchise tag. So I don't know if I'm investing money in the Trubisky's of the world. I'm probably going to look for the next guy. And again, this draft maybe doesn't have the frontline guys, but there are some really intriguing guys. Again, I think Malik Willis, to me, he may not be ready in year one, but boy, you know, watching him in Mobile at the Senior Bowl, he has some real tools, and I think he has a high ceiling.
Yeah, you want to certainly, if you have the opportunity, Ron Wolf will draft it, as you mentioned before, Mike. He would take quarterback. He felt like there wasn't enough quarterbacks to take. And if there's a guy that's hanging in that low round, that low first round, second round type situation that you feel good about, you go ahead and you pull the trigger on him. Davante Adams is there. I think you're okay at the receiving core now. I don't think that there's a problem for Aaron Rodgers there. Running back is solidified. Maybe you get some help in the secondary on the defensive side of the ball in the draft or free agency. But for the most part, your team is set ready to go. That's why the quarterback is important to land and get. And I think they'll go all in and do what they need to do to make sure that Aaron Rodgers stays.
Mike, can you define what? Explain to me what all in means. Can you break that down in detail?
Yeah, it's really whatever it takes. And to me, it's like, again, Davante Adams comes back. You know, we're not franchising him. And then on the other side of the ball, look, they've done a nice job adding guys. You know, last couple of years, like Za'Darius Smith, Devondre Campbell, and what I would be doing is, they're not going to have a lot of dollars to spend in free agency just because of the way they're built. Mm-hmm. But to the extent they can, or restructure some contracts, I would allocate any dollars I could and push cap charges into the future to maximize the room they have so they could fill the needs. And to me, when you look at this team, like, it's going to be the offensive line. It's going to obviously make sure that Adams comes back. And then obviously if you could add another corner, you know, that's going to be, you know, Jaire Alexander is one of the best corners in the NFL. But on the other side, you know, they may have a couple of young guys, but I would try to add another corner if they could, and that would give them the best chance to get back to the Super Bowl.
So, Mike, Adam Schefter said that they will use the Saints model And that's why I guess I was trying to get to that. What does that look like when it comes to buying into future years of the salary cap?
Yeah, so basically what you're going to do is you're going to take base salary, you're going to convert that to signing bonus, you're going to push out those charges to future years to create more room. And to go back to Key's point earlier, the best way to do that is if someone's making $20 million, you give them $1 million in base salary, a $19 million signing bonus, you prorate that into future years, and then you lower the cap charge this year significantly. And then at some point, those future years come due. But it just keeps your window open short term. And that, to me, would be the appropriate strategy if Aaron Rodgers comes back. But to me, what you have to do, and when I've been in those situations, is you have to sit down and in detail and say, by creating this room, here are the specific players we're going to try to acquire.
Yeah, and if that cap charge comes due, I'm probably going to be fired by then anyway. Because all I'm going to do is keep pushing it off.
You know, the front office may not be there, and you look at the Saints situation, Drew Brees goes off to the sunset, much the way Aaron Rodgers would.
So, guys, the Rams were not the only ones who won a title over the weekend or won a championship round. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Israel Adesanya, the UFC middleweight champion. And he joins us now live in studio. What's up, champ?
What's up, baby? Man? What's up? What's good?
Man, just out here trying to look like you out here fresh, man.
Yeah, it's early, man. Got to stay crispy. It's cold in New York, so, you know, stay icy.
And UFC middleweight champ Israel Adesanya is giving you the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So, Israel, look, the UFC, when people perceive it a certain way, there's the champion, he's favored, Adesanya's going to beat Whitaker. Mm. You know, Adesanya's special. Whitaker's a nice fighter, but I don't think people realize when you are defending your title against the mandatory, against the number, you are like, it's anyone's game. Like, throughout most of that fight, everyone in the UFC is a de facto one punch knockout artist because of strikes, because of submission holds, chokes, the whole thing. Tell me about your latest title defense. Mm-hmm. It was close and competitive. You won, but that was a tough fight, it looked to me.
Yeah, for me, say later on, he started to adjust, especially his jab. He went from double jabs to triple jabs, and that's when he touched me up later on when I was exiting to my right. And I even gave him credit for it. But when you're this dominant, this is starting to remind me of like Anderson Silva at a certain point when he was so dominant and, you know, levels above his peers, if you will, quotations. So people, anytime anything happened that was maybe someone landed a leg kick or someone even landed a punch, oh my God, you know, it's bigger than it seems, you know, you kind of make them look human, but I'm like, hey, I never said I was superhuman. I am human. I just, I make everyone else look like, eh.
Jay knows this from boxing because Jay's a big boxing fan from way back, is that is right. Sometimes if the underdog in a fight and does a little more than people are expecting, they get, like, not a sympathy round, but naturally it's human nature to give that guy the round because he exceeded expectations.
I was going to ask you, so with a target on your back, you signed the most lucrative deal in the sport. Mm. Like, what does that mean to you?
It still hasn't hit yet. I thought maybe after this fight it'll hit, it'll settle in, but it still hasn't hit yet. And that was because I was focused on one thing, and that was Whitaker. I had to make sure I got the job done, because if I didn't, I mean, imagine that, signing a new deal, being the new face of the company, and then next thing you know.
And no gimmies in the UFC.
No, yeah. Not in the UFC. Yeah.
We'll edit that. This is,
don't worry. Sorry, Mickey. You can handle it.
Welcome to the octagon, Mickey.
Yeah, exactly. when I put that on myself, that pressure, I put that on myself just so I get to feel that. And then when I strive and achieve that, then it just feels that much sweeter. You know what I mean?
Mm. Tell me where you got the nickname, The Last Style Bender.
The Last Style Bender.
It's a dope fly nickname.
I appreciate that. It spoke to me because the anime, the Avatar, The Last Airbender, watching that and seeing Aang's journey as the Avatar, I realized that, man, in this game, I can be the Avatar of this game, mastering all the elements of martial arts to realize my destiny. Just the way Aang had to master all the elements to realize his destiny as the Avatar. And it just kind of made sense for me because also being a style bender, like, I'm able to adapt and overcome to any different style. And you can see it's just in my flow.
I just assumed it was about the flow because you can go orthodox, southpaw, you know, with the hands, mm-hmm. with the legs. Yeah. And it seems like you know, Bruce Lee, that it goes around on social media now, yeah. right? But it's be like water, right? Like you nice. Have that kind of style.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is MMA, and that's one thing you should be able to do. Like the last time I fought this guy, we didn't even use the game plan. I called an audible. This is back in Melbourne. I called an audible with my team, and they trust me enough to just go with the flow. And this time, my coach was really adamant that we stick to the game plan. So even when I wanted to call the audible, I didn't ask my coach in the corner what dropped him in the first round because I didn't want to focus on that. I didn't want to focus on the past. But in hindsight, I should have because I was feeling really good southpaw. And I was like, man, I'm touching him up southpaw, so I should have just stayed southpaw. But I just didn't want to call an audible, so I stuck to the game plan with my coaches.
Okay. I sometimes talk to Dana if there's a very popular fighter who lost, right? And there have been a couple. Listen, this is the UFC. Anything you fight all the top guys eventually. And I'm always like, hey, listen, don't put him in an immediate rematch, right? Like, build his confidence, da da da. But Dana's response to me and fighters in the UFC response to me is like, this is the UFC. Mm. I could lose to the 15th ranked dude just as quick as I could lose to the, so might as well go after the big fight, right? Mm. That said, you're favored over Whitaker. It was tough, close. You won.
Mm-hmm.
I know what your stance is publicly about Usman,
mm-hmm.
but in terms of super fight opponents, he would be one.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you about him, and let me put it this way. Under what circumstances would you fight Kamaru Usman?
F***ing hell, my man went straight for the jugular.
That's what he does, man. That's Max Kellerman.
Max Kellerman, I bet. See, me and Usman have talked about this, and we've said we don't want to fight each other. We're on record saying we don't want to fight each other. It's just his greedy peanut head manager that keeps, you know, yapping. You know, blah, 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 this and that, rah, 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 rah. But, I mean, Usman's my brother, you know, and, you know, sometimes brothers fight, but this is bigger than us. This is honestly, for me, it's bigger than us. It's like two Nigerian, this right now, this is a moment in history that will never be forgotten. You've got Francis Ngannou, heavyweight champion from Cameroon, myself, middleweight champion from Nigeria, and Kamaru Usman, welterweight champion from Nigeria. Right now, the three kings, what we're doing, and there's only, I think, just over 20 fighters from Africa, the great continent of Africa in the UFC, and to have three champions, it's astonishing, and we are ruling our divisions with iron black fist. So it's bigger than us. I'd rather have two champions from Nigeria than just one. But when you're talking about, you know, I understand what Kamaru says, or what's his name, Ali says about competing against each other. And I saw something last week about Kamaru saying that, you know, we're going to have to talk. And that's something that we would have to do if, I mean, hold up. How much is $50 million in Naira?
That's what I was going to ask you. I was saying, what's the price tag, man?
Yeah. You know,
price tag.
I want to say something about that. First of all, stylistically, really interesting. The guy whose foundation is wrestling versus striking, the whole thing.
Mm.
Joe Frazier and Kenny Norton, two great heavyweights in the 70s, were friends, same manager, never fought each other. They said they wouldn't, they didn't. Obviously, the Klitschko brothers never fought each other. But the interesting thing in boxing is when you have stable mates or real close friends who fight each other, one of two things happens. Either it's basically a sparring session, they just keep it, or it is the most brutal, right? Mm. It seems to be one or the other. What kind of fight would that be, you and Usman?
Let's not even put that out there yet because this is just fugazi. We're just talking
of course. This is what I know, do. Hey,
fantasy,
Adesanya.
Fantasy.
This is,
my guy.
This
you
is,
see
this,
this guy.
Is what I do. We live in a fantasy.
This is sports radio, man.
But you know, that's, like I said, something that me and Usman have to talk about. But right now, it's just not on the table. I already have Jared Cannonier, who did really well last weekend. And I told him after the weigh-ins, like, look, can you take care of this guy, please? Because I want some fresh meat. And I'm glad I got some fresh meat. June. Pay-per-view, whatever one, or maybe even July, I don't know, but we're going to figure it out. So that's what I'm focused on. And Kamaru's also got a tough opponent next, Leon Edwards, who's the dark horse in the division, who he's already beat, but Leon has gotten better leaps and bounds. And I feel like they're both in a similar situation with me and Whitaker, you know, in the welterweight division.
I believe that $50 million is $20 billion in Naira.
That sounds good like that, right?
20B sounds different.
20 B's, but,
like Squid Game. When you do the conversion and the numbers, it sounds big. Yeah.
Carry the five.
Yeah. Just keep moving the zeros down before you get to the decimal point.
We'll see. But,
I do want to ask you this, though, because I'm curious. You talk about the last style bender. Do you consider yourself the hero or the villain in the sport?
There's no good guys or bad guys. I said that this camp. I said that in the press conference. Like, everyone likes to have that story. Like, oh, he's the good guy. He's the bad guy. Like, maybe back in the Attitude Era of the WWE. Look, people are people, and we're capable of great good or great evil. Mm. So there's no good or bad guys. We're just people, and we do good or bad things. You know, depends on how my like last time I fought Whitaker. Right, this was in Melbourne. He was the hometown hero, the countryman, right. And I came and stormed his land, and I was the villain. So guess what? I played into it. You know, I was the heel. I went full heel like Hoodville. You know what I'm saying? But this time, I felt like I already whooped his ass. So people were kind of like, you know, I was the protagonist in a way. But I'm not too attached to it. Whatever it is, booze or chairs, it's all energy. It's all energy, and I use it as fuel to the fire.
It's octagon skills plus mic skills, and Israel Adesanya has them both.
I'm just rapping, man.
Appreciate it. Thanks for stopping by, champ.
Yes, thank you, man.
Best of luck.
That. Love and respect, man.
Always. Thank you.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Now we have Kyler Murray. He doesn't follow the Cardinals anymore. If you are part of the Cardinals organization, what are you thinking right now?
We've given this dude everything that he needed to be successful. If he hadn't been successful, that's a him problem.
Why would you not follow your team that you play for on social media?
Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider with us. Guys, it is time to play better, worse, or the same with Kyler Murray, where we take teams one at a time and ask, would they be better, worse, or the same with Kyler Murray as their quarterback? Evan, take it away.
Yeah, we did this last week with Russell Wilson. We're going to do it next week with Carson Wentz. So here we go. Kyler Murray, better, worse, the same. Mike, start with you. The Packers, they better, worse, or the same with Kyler Murray instead of their current quarterback, Aaron Rodgers?
One of the very few. They're worse. Give me Aaron Rodgers. You guys have the rest of the planet.
Keith?
Worse.
Worse with the Packers. I'm game with that. I'm taking Aaron Rodgers all day long.
Of course, worse. But if the option is no Aaron Rodgers or who you're going to put there, I'm going to say this dude probably gives you your best option.
So Kyler Murray, a Texas high school star, one of the best high school football players in Texas at Allen High School, went undefeated. So if he's going back to AT&T Stadium with the Cowboys, better, worse, or the same than Dak Prescott, Mike?
Ooh, this one's tough. I love Dak, but I got to go with Kyler.
And, tell him, Mike.
Boy, that is a tough one, Evan. That's an early fastball. I got to go with Kyler.
I would say the same. Shotgun formation. Dak Prescott rarely is underneath the center. They like to use a lot of gun, 3-4 wides. That's the only reason why. It has nothing to do with the quarterback as much as it do the system and the style in which the Cowboys like to run.
Mike T, I might have to go with you on this one. Just imagine with that running game, with those wide receivers, with the dual threat that Kyler Murray could bring to that team. You talk about the Cowboys being America's team. Ooh, I go with Kyler Murray.
As long as Kyler Murray is on the field, I think he's better than Dak Prescott. I think Prescott is the last stop before you get to the differently talented dudes, and I think Kyler Murray's one of them. He doesn't stay on the field, but I'm still going to say better because when he's on, he'd make them better.
Kyler Murray, 9-0 in games played at AT&T Stadium, so they'd go 17-0 every year if he was there. The Raiders with new head coach Josh McDaniels. Is Kyler Murray better, worse, or the same as Derek Carr, Mike?
Absolutely. Now, look, Derek Carr, I thought, had a great year, especially from a leadership standpoint, but from a skill set, a ceiling standpoint, that's not even in the same stratosphere. We're much better off with Kyler Murray in Vegas.
I'm going to go worse because of the system that Josh McDaniels is going to run. Kyler Murray has never taken a snap, under meaningful snap, under center in the National Football League. You're asking Josh McDaniels now change his style and his approach at the quarterback spot, given the fact that he's only had trees. I can go to Matt Castle. I can go to Tom Brady. I can go to Mac Jones. Now you want him to deal with a much smaller player with a much different skill set. We saw the way that went with Cam Newton's skill set. That's not what Josh wants to do. They're worse off team than Carr. He took the job because of Carr.
Yeah, I'll probably lean to go again with Mike T on this one. I hear what Key is saying about the style in which Josh McDaniels will have, but I still think at the end of the day that Kyler Murray is a different quarterback than Derek Carr.
Yeah, I think Derek Carr is like I'd put him a little below Dak, but like toward the top end of the last stop before special. I think Kyler Murray is special, better with Kyler.
All right, since Tom Brady's like in this never say never, maybe he's going to come back, maybe
never
nothing.
Say never.
Kyler Murray or a 45-year-old Tom Brady? Better, worse, or the same, Mike?
Yeah, boy, tough one. I got to go with Tom. I mean, he's the GOAT. And if we're saying for the next 3 years, I'm going with Kyler. But if we had one game, one season, I'm going back with Tom.
I'm going to say worse. No matter how you look at it in the situation, again, system matters, style matters, and this is not the style nor the system that Kyler Murray thrived in. This is the system that Tom Brady would thrive in. Jameis Winston had success in. Byron Leftwich is an amazing offensive coordinator, but when you are used to one style and that is all you know, it's very difficult to switch to try to help the deficiencies of the guy replacing the guy.
Yeah, I'll go with Tom Brady. I'll go with the guy that finished second pretty much in the MVP voting. That's an easy choice for me.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm the idiot who was talking about the cliff. 45, he showed no signs of slowing down. And I would say that as special as Kyler is, the odds are practically zero that he will ever be as good as Tom Brady will be next year because Tom Brady's the best who ever did it. So the answer is worse.
How about another Oklahoma quarterback? Jalen Hurts, Eagles. Kyler Murray, better, worse, or the same, Mike?
No, there's nothing to talk about here. I mean, Jalen Hurts is sort of intriguing, but like, you know, we're talking about middleweights versus heavyweights here. Give me Kyler.
I'm going to say the same. I'm going to say the system allows Kyler Murray to do some of the same things in a young Jalen Hurts. Kyler Murray is a better thrower of the football than Jalen Hurts, but it's essentially the same thing. He's got to get better, Jalen Hurts, at delivering the football. I don't think that it's significantly better. I think they're about the same in this particular system with the Eagles. Again, you're only going to see the gun out of the Eagles, not a guy underneath the center, which plays right into Kyler Murray's hands.
Yeah, I'll go with Kyler Murray. That's easy for me. I think the accuracy is different. And I think Jalen Hurts, even though he's younger, I think Kyler Murray has a bigger upside.
I saw Jalen Hurts flash against Kyler Murray actually in his rookie year. That made me think, ooh, look at these two going back and forth. I think Jalen Hurts has a problem seeing the middle of the field. That's what it seems like to me when I watch him. And Kyler Murray is a better version. So I'm taking Kyler.
Seahawks, Russell Wilson. Kyler Murray, better, worse, or the same, Mike?
Ooh, I'm going with Russell just because he's done it. He's got pelts, and I love Kyler, but give me Russell Wilson.
I'm going to say same again. The system allows him to do what he needs to do. Stay out of underneath the center, play in the gun, and he got some pretty good perimeter receivers in Metcalf along with Lockett. I think it'll be pretty much the same. It's a wash right now.
Yeah. Look, I mean, talk about over the last couple of weeks, how much are we undervaluing Russell Wilson? I mean, a lot of people thought he was washed. He did have a hand injury this year. I think Russell Wilson's better than what people are giving him credit for. And seeing him on different teams, I'll go with Russell Wilson on this one.
Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray's got to stay on the field. He's got to show the ability to do that. Really hasn't been healthy for a full season yet in his career. Russell Wilson, until this year, was only under 10 wins in a season once when he won 9 games. It's Russell Wilson.
All right, two more. Ready? Let's go quick here. Dolphins, Tua Tagovailoa. Better, worse, or the same than Kyler Murray? Mike?
Not even the same stratosphere. It's Kyler Murray by a long shot.
I would say better. No question.
Yeah, better.
Better. Easy. Better.
All right, last one. The guy who won the Heisman the year before Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield. Better, worse, or the same? Browns. Mike?
Yeah, that's easy. I mean, you're talking about the JV versus the varsity here. Give me Kyler.
Again, better. Similar traits, system allows him to be who he is, much better.
Evan, how do you even keep a straight face while asking that question? That's more important than the question itself.
How does Mike
keep
a straight face? He said JV versus varsity.
do you guys watch the same games I do? What guy's height deficient?
Mike,
deficient?
The games are a little late. I don't.
Yeah, the answer is Kyler Murray. Baker Mayfield's a pretty good thrower of the football, but he lacks speed. At that size, you got to have speed. Kyler has it, so they would be better with Kyler Murray.
All right, you guys went so quick. Here we go. Titans. Ryan Tannehill, better, worse, or the same as Kyler Murray? Mike, quick answer.
I'm a big, big Ryan Tannehill fan, but with that said, give me Kyler.
Yeah, Tannehill, I'm going with Murray for sure.
Way to build him up, Mike, and then break him down. I'll go with Kyler as well.
Kyler. Tannehill is not special in the way that Kyler is. They get better with Kyler. Mike's going to stick around. We just mentioned Tom Brady. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.